Hello, my name is Peter Cinnamon, and you're very welcome to a podcast which is all about the Irish League, where some of the big boys had a weekend off ahead of crunch games in the Irish Cup. We preview those massive semi-final showdowns which headline an Easter weekend of Irish League football. In the top flight, Coleraine all but secure their top six position with a draw at home to Dungannon. Meanwhile, Loughgall jump up to seventh ahead of the split. Elsewhere, the bottom two lose out again. We discuss who might be best suited to survive with only five games to go. Plenty to sink our teeth into on your latest weekly edition of Kicking Match. Another week, another chance to sit and chat some Irish League football. I mean, this is just a massive week we have ahead of us. Some of the biggest games in the Irish League calendar are coming up this Easter weekend. We've got Linfield Glentoran, a big game no matter when it's played. You've got Cliftonville against Larne, Irish Cup semi-finals. There are seasons on the line, and we're going to put all those games under the microscope later on in the podcast. We're going to review the games that we had over the weekend just past, as well as all kind of the news and storylines. If you are a new convert to the podcast, it's great to have you back. I mean, huge reaction to last week's podcast, one of the most listened to episodes I've ever had. If you didn't check it out or haven't checked it out, it was a pretty much a state of the nation when it comes to Glentoran. We had Matthew Brown from the Shout at the Oval podcast. Really, really good episode. Lots of new people on board. So if you enjoyed that, you've come back, it's great to have you. But I mean, there's plenty of Irish League stuff to chat about right now. So welcome in my guest. It is sports reporter with the newsletter. Hello and welcome back, Johnny McNabb.
Peter, how are you? How's the form? Many thanks for asking me on. And yeah, it's been a busy week with feeding the four fixtures and permutations at the bottom of the league and in the middle of the league, and the top of the league had a bit of a weekend off, I suppose. So all them guys will be ready for the Irish Cup this weekend. So yeah, busy week, and it's going to be weird having Easter as well, really, with no football too coming up. So it's going to be an interesting end of the season.
It's strange because we're just edging towards now the split, but we now pause very dramatically for the Irish Cup semi-finals, and all eyes will be on those games, and we'll spend a bit of time today previewing them. But in turn, that means that we've had this little pocket of games, a week off, and then the week after that, it's all gung-ho with the final games of the season. So we've got a big old stretch ahead of us, and we'll look ahead to all the permutations of the split later on. But looking at this weekend's games, there was a few things still up in the air, the main one really being who was going to finish sixth. And as much as their poor run of form up to the takeover, which we're probably looking as a pivotal moment now for Coleraine, where they threatened to dip under that line, they never did that long term. They turned it around, they held on to it, and all bar a massive turn for Carrick Rangers beating Linfield, Coleraine have secured themselves sixth again. I think that's the fifth season in a row where all of the same teams have remained in that area.
Yeah, Coleraine have seemingly just done enough. And I think in January, December into January, Coleraine hadn't won a league game in six. So I think they've done that and turned it around. I think the players deserve a big credit for that too. And I think the January signings have had a big impact too in terms of Rory and Jack Scott and Jamie. So yeah, in recent weeks, Coleraine have drawn against the likes of Crusaders and Larne and beat Linfield. So they've had to play the big teams, really. They sort of maintain their top six position. So I can't see Carrick beating Linfield 6-0. If it does, I think I'll be the most surprised man in the world, never mind David Healy or anyone from Linfield. So job done. And Norm made a good point the other week there, saying that Coleraine usually start a season well and then maybe blip towards the end. If Coleraine maybe started slowly and maybe peaking towards the end, who knows? So yeah, look, I think there's them and Crusaders and the Irish, whoever doesn't win the Irish Cup and whoever finishes seventh. It's going to be an interesting playoff. I say it all the time that, you know, qualifying for Europe is a fourth unofficial trophy, big trophy, I think, in the Irish League. So All them teams will be looking towards that.
Yeah, I don't think I need to call upon Marshall Gillespie to find out that Calgary Rangers have probably never beaten Linfield 5-6-0, you know. So to say that it is unlikely to happen, I don't think is some sort of understatement. A win there for Carrick would have been it would be incredible when it happens, of course. We're talking about fixtures on the 2nd of April, so this is the Tuesday after the weekend coming up, and of course it'll be like the strange doubleheader for Cliftonville and Larne. That's the other fixture that will be there, but it all but ties up, of course, bar a big swing. It comes from Coleraine drawing with Dungannon up at the Showgrounds. I mean, Dungannon have been a bit of a pesky team for Coleraine this year. They've been a team that were very much one of the main causes of frustration for Coleraine fans. They've come up and they've been able to sneak themselves a point. Of course, Coleraine playing a lot of that game down to 10 men. Of course, it's old flame Andrew Mitchell who scores the goal. Was it a fair result in the end based on the period of play?
It probably was, but I think if Josh Carson's penalty goes in for 2-0, it's game over. I think Dungannon will be dead and buried. And I must give a shout out to Declan Donnie. He saved it with his nose. You should see the swelling on it. Definitely took the body on the line for that one. So yeah, I think the red card, Stephen Lurie, is an experienced player. And I think really, whether or not you think it is a red card, I was just surprised if maybe a player of Stephen's experience, he maybe just gets involved and anything to do with that. Never mind if you think it's a red or not. Dungannon, to be fair, after the penalty save, threw caution to the wind. And yes, a lot's made about Mitch scoring, but the ball in, the highlights don't do it justice by Adam Glennie. It is a wonder of a cross into the box. Mitch just has to stand there to head it in. That's how good it is. So okay, a lot of chances maybe from distance before the equaliser, maybe didn't overly threaten Rory Brown. So yeah, weird game to sort of summarise, because the first half was a non-event bar the goal really. And then of course you score the second, they go out comfortable winners. But at the end of the day, keepers are there, they do their job, and Declan done his, and to be fair, it was a turning point, because obviously then Dungannon used their extra man and a great ball in, and Mitch scores. So there's so many ex-strikers that used to play for Corey, and they're actually now that, whether it's Curtis Allen or Nettis or a Carrick or Andy Mitchell or whoever. It used to be David McDade at Larne. So all our ex-strikers just unfortunately seem to big Fitzy as well. So unfortunately all just seem to score against us.
Well, if you're there as a home for everybody, they're gonna come bite you back eventually. You're absolutely right, by the way, about that ball. I just look back at it again. I mean, it's time to wind up, and any sort of touch on that ball, it was just a beauty. And of course, a man of the stature of Andy Mitchell will happily guide that on in. You're right about the penalty. That was a pivotal moment. You're 1-0 up at that time. You're down to 10 men. Really, if that goes in, if that's swept in, it's all but over, bar maybe a bit of a late comeback from Dungannon again. And you said this to me just before you went on. It was strangely a weekend where missed penalties were a slight theme.
Yeah, there was a missed one on that one, obviously, and then the other Inverurie missed one, and I think I log all scored there. So yeah, four Irish League games and a penalty in three of them, and obviously a red card in the Glentoran game, which I'm sure we'll chat about later. So yeah, it just seems weird how things like that happen, and just the wee quirks and stuff of the Irish League. So I don't think there's any complaints in the games that I've seen for the penalties. I know a few Glenavon fans are maybe questioning the log goals, but whilst he maybe does touch the ball, I don't know. But listen, referees only have one look at it. Thankfully there's no VAR in the Irish League, so they just have to see what they say, or judge upon what they see, and that's it.
Of course, the stats have said that since this takeover, undefeated are Coleraine. I mean, it'll not go down as a classic season unless there is a big run towards the end of it. What have you seen as a change, if there has been a change, that we've seen this run, and particularly a lot of good results against the league's top teams? I mean, is it those three additions just have solidified things up? Has it been a couple of players coming back? Has it all just come together at the one go? What's a part of this end of season Coleraine run, do you think?
For me, it's easy. It's getting the injured players back, Peter. I think if you take out Stevie O'Donnell, Stephen Lurie, Josh Carson, and Matthew Shelvin, that's the spine of your team. You take the spine out of your team of any team in the Irish League, they're going to struggle. I never use injuries as an excuse, because every team goes through them. Every player unfortunately gets injured during their career. But I think the injuries have been really, really sore and poor in certain positions. So having them back, and then obviously when you're adding the three guys in as well, is a big boost. I think subconsciously too, I'm not a footballer, I'm not Oran Kearney, unfortunately, so I can't really answer this one. But I think if Corey are now bought over and the plan is to go to a full-time model, are the players thinking that they need to produce better performances, or they may be trying that extra bit harder, they may be earning a full-time contract. There's so many different permutations, I think, but I think the main one for me is having the leaders back. You know, Stevie O'Donnell's a leader, he's a club captain. Josh Carson, the leader. Stephen Lowry. And Matthew Shevlin's 20, I think Chevy's only 25, 26, but he feels like he's been around for 10 years, and people forget that, even though he's only 25 or 26. So I think when you get the main back, and then obviously Jack Scott being a great signing, and Jamie up front. So I think when you factor all them different things in, that's probably the nucleus of it.
What's the feeling up at the showgrounds? Obviously, everyone's feeling great about this run that you're back at it, but it's too late. You're out of the cups. It's too late for a massive run bar, a nice little end of the season in this European playoff run, which you're somewhat behind the eight ball being in sixth. What's the expectation? Is it just enjoying the longest preseason of all time for next year, or is there hope? This feels good. What if?
For me, my expectation would be to try and end the season as high up, obviously, in the league. We're not like maybe finishes as any higher than sixth anyway, but as they finish strong to go into the playoff to give us a better chance. I think the last couple of years we've lost the League Cup final, and then it sort of spiraled down in their league form, and we've went into the playoffs maybe with only one win in 9 games or something ridiculous. And you're not just it's not a light bulb, you can't just turn it on. So hopefully, you know, and maybe I'm clutching at straws here, but maybe because we are doing the opposite, maybe we've had an inconsistent start to then being consistent. Hopefully then we can obviously, you know, click at the right time for the split and the playoffs. And look, the next 3 4 months of Korea in general are going to be very, very surreal. I think there's going to be changes made, and maybe players coming in and stuff like that, and maybe trying to go full time and different things that just the whole environment around Korean is going to be different. It's going to be very, very, you know, I'm Korean, born and bred, you know, so it's going to be weird maybe driving by the showgrounds on a Monday morning and seeing footballers out training. It's just, there's a whole lot of questions as well that need answered. You know, will we definitely be full time? Will Oran be staying? I think we've maybe 13, 14 players out of contract. Will they be staying? What sort of players can we bring in? You know, so in a nutshell, it's a very difficult question to answer, but I think in terms of the short term, in terms of the league, it's given ourselves the best opportunity to go into the playoffs, because Crusaders, I think, are now 5 or 6 matches unbeaten. If Glentoran win the Irish Cup, we know what they can do on their day. Will Cliftonville be brought into the playoff? We know how good they are at home. And I've read comments there. I spoke to Dean Smith earlier, a lot of goal, and they said now the pressure's off, they're just going for everything now. So if they finish 7th, they're thinking this is a completely free hit, so they can just go, you know. So yeah, there's so many different talking points, and but that's why we love the Irish League.
Last week, and you've alluded to it slightly, last week on the podcast, we talked about Glentoran in a great amount of depth. And a part of that was talking about all these players that are out of contract and the changes that that club is going to see. You've mentioned it. There's plenty of contracts that are up at Corrine. What are some of the ones that are causing discussions or consternation amongst fans? Is there a couple of the big names that fans of the Bandsiders are thinking they might be gone or are worried that they might not be around?
I think the big two would be obviously Lyndon Kane and Conor McKendry. Lyndon's obviously been at Corian all his career. He's a Corian lad. He's one of our own, as we all say, and he's in his testimonial year. So I think with the club maybe going full time, it's maybe came at the opportune time for him, so to speak, to stay with the club. And I think when Stevie O'Donnell leaves, and hopefully that's not anytime soon, that Lyndon will be the club captain as well. So yeah, that's probably one too, and I think that would be a sore one, obviously, if Lyndon was to move on elsewhere. And Connor as well, I think Corey's been very good for Connor, and Connor's been good for Corey, and I think it's a move that's worked out. He probably was in the fringes or the periphery at Larne, and he's came to Corey and played a lot of football, and I think there may be interest maybe from England, and I know a lot of his friends live over there, so. And there'll probably be interest from the Irish League too. So those are two. Then you've likes of Stephen Lowry. You know, will he continue to play on? And you've maybe think Marty Gallagher's one, and Darren Cole, and Jack O'Mahony, and guys like that. So there's loads of players who Adam Mullen, Rodney Poins. So They're common to me here. There's that many of them. So,
Is Matthew Shevlin one of them?
no, Matthew Shell, I think, has got a year or two left. I think it's 2 years. But again, look, these players as well who are at Korian now, probably, I think, bar the two or three signed in general, on part-time contracts. So they're going to have to be remunerated if they're going to go full-time. So, yeah, it's and honestly, and this is why I said everybody, the next 3, 4 months at Korian is going to be absolute chaos. And a good way, I suppose, because it's obviously what we wanted. We wanted outside investment. We want them move to the next level. It's the only way we're going to compete. So, yeah, I'm glad I'm not involved in that side of things.
Yeah, McKendry is probably the big one outside of Kane for a lot of people. I mean, it feels so long ago, but I remember doing the half team of the season, and McKendry was up there as a staple because of just his excellent form, transitioning from not just being a wide player. He's adding so many goals to his game, had a more central striker role that he would rotate into. So we all remember that brilliant goal he scored against Glentoran at the Oval. So I mean, it's going to be a big summer for a lot of players, and as we now go year by year into this full-time model, or at least the influence of full-time model dripping down from the big teams. I mean, we're going to see these free agency, if we're going to talk summer periods, where it'll be feel a lot more different than in the past. So, I mean, lots changing behind the scenes for Coleraine that will obviously then happen on the pitch for them. They go into the European playoff run confident, getting good results against big teams. Unfortunately for Loch Awe, at least from their fans' point of view, they weren't able to Pip Coleraine, and they were out of it by last week, but they are now in the box seat when it comes to seventh going into the split. This is, of course, depending on Carrick Rangers' result against Linfield, but they won out 2-1 against Glenavon. I've seen a lot of Loch Awe recently, and I've seen them play a lot of the bigger sides. I've seen them play Carrick, well, I've seen them play Crusaders and Cliftonville. They gave them good games there. They gave Linfield a good game, but they're not going to be playing them in the playoff run. So, I mean, you talk there about Dean Smith and his side. It's a free hit. They're safe. They're home and hosed. That is a massive achievement. Getting it seventh would be historic for that club. It would be like it has to be their best season ever. And on top of that, they've got an international under-21 player in Benji McGee trying to prove himself for whoever is going to pay his contract next year. They've got Nathaniel Ferris, who's on a great run of goal scoring form. I always think they're solid, they play well, and they could go in and challenge anybody. I mean, Loch Awe playing European football would be some sort of mad football manager-esque fever dream. But I mean, it's all just fun and crack now if you're a fan of that team from Mid Ulster, because they've won out again, and they're easy on the eye, and so are their results. I mean, 11 wins this year, only team to beat Larne.
I think the fact that we're even chatting about Loch Awe potentially playing European football is a testament to how well they've done this year. Yeah, as I said earlier, I spoke to Dean. He was like, all you journalists tipped us to go down. Every single one of us didn't think we would not finish bottom of the league and things like that. So, yeah, but look.
This is where, of course, I say I did not, but we'll move on.
But it's just one of the things where they play a system, and to be fair, Dean made a really good point. They didn't bring in many players because they trust the players and believes in the players that they have. They play the football that they want to be played, and there's not much point upsetting the apple cart in terms of maybe bringing on two or three players who can't fit into a system. So, yeah, for what they've done this year is a tremendous achievement. And look, whoever wins a league, more likely they will be manager of the year, because obviously Linfield and Larne have won a trophy either side of that. So, and they could, one of them could potentially win an Irish Cup too. So, outside of that, I think Dean Smith has done an unbelievable job. And for what they've achieved, 5 games, not even having to worry, look over their shoulder, and I think that is impressive. And look, Dean said to me today that they're treating the last 5 games as a free hit. They finish the same league as they can. So to me, that's nearly dangerous because that's a team that's just going to go for it. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see. It'll be a really good battle between them and Carrick, Glenavon, and maybe Dungannon, maybe too far behind. But listen, and then obviously at the bottom, they'll both obviously Loch Awe be playing both Newry and Ballymena, who have their own agenda. So no, yeah, look, I think that'll be a very intriguing battle to see who finishes seventh.
Dungannon does look out now. They're 7 points off
Yeah.
Loch Awe unless they go on a run. Carrick Rangers are just at 1 point behind Loch Awe going into the split. So that'll be An interesting little battle between them. Glenavon aren't particularly out of it. They're only 5 points, and of course, a win against Loughall or Carrick would get them back in it. But I mean, that result somewhat puts them back, because I mean, if Loughall would have been on 36, and a win for Glenavon on Saturday would have seen them jump up. McDonald rang in 6 changes for Glenavon after that 6-1 defeat to Larne, and it didn't work. And Loughall used that wind in that game. They got an early penalty, which I've seen a lot of people disagree with the decision. Again, it's kind of a foot out, text out McAleer, who was excellent in that game, I thought, out wide. He goes down, Ferris knocks it in. You know, Benji McGee's been getting all the headlines, but there's Nathaniel Ferris, and he's knocked in 6 goals in 4 games. He's the hottest striker in the league right now.
Yeah, he is. And what impressed me about him is that he's a, as we would say up here, he's a big lump of a lad. So he gets himself about, and his work rate and stuff's brilliant. But I think work rate probably sums up Loughall as well. I just think the whole team works hard for each other. And yes, obviously, they've quality in there. You don't win games of football if you don't have added quality. But listen, they all work really hard for each other. And yeah, look for Glenavon. It's probably been a weird sort of last maybe 6 weeks for them. I think they had a big win, was it Wembley Dungannon? But obviously they've been beaten by Loughall and lost heavily to Larne. So yeah, they're 5 points behind. But listen, as you say, every team has to play each other, and if you win maybe 4 of the 5 games in the split, you definitely won't be too far away, and are definitely clawing and reeling teams in. So Glenavon, or they maybe looking at an eye for next season as well? Will Stevie feel that maybe it just depends, you know, if they maybe fall more than 5 points behind, and say they're 8 points behind 4 games to go, they might experiment and look towards next season. So yeah, it's all different.
Glenavon are a strange team to me, because I can see elements that are there for the team they want to build on. They obviously have a couple of older names and the likes of Ward, Burnley not so much. You know, how much will they want to change? I mean, they brought in a lot of players from the League of Ireland who likes of Clark and Duna and Touré, and how they eventually fit in, it's not really clear. Again, look at Loughall, you go, they could probably have done with a big old lump of a striker like Nathaniel Ferris. And look, 6 goals in 4 games is brilliant. Let's not overhype it. Like, I think 3 of them at least are penalties. I think maybe the other 3 are at least tap-ins, from what I can remember seeing from a follow-on. But, you know, you got to be there. You know, plenty of strikers use the penalty spot to kind of help the numbers. But to see 2 strikers with 10 goals, over 10 goals, I think Ferris is upwards towards 14. Benji McGee is up there. I mean, he was the second or third highest scorer in the league for a while there. You know, for Glenavon, they'll look back at their season and go, top goal scorer right now is, I think it's Malone and Prendergast with 6 goals each. I mean, I know some teams have a top-heavy goal chart and everybody wants a striker, but for Glenavon, that's the big difference between where they are and potentially being there. And I mean, they're only, what was it, 5 points off 7th. You find that goal score and it changes games. It would have changed the game on Saturday.
Yeah, goals won games of football. And you made a good comment there. I think of Ferris and the McGee, if you've 2 players there, if you've over 30 goals, you know, that's a big, big chunk. So, yeah, Glenavon, I've always been a striker short, especially when you lose Fitzy. And I think that was a big, big, big loss for him, because I think it was 20 goals he maybe scored for Glenavon last year. So, and then obviously he went on to Linfield. So, yeah, it's one of the, you mentioned that good strikers are like hen's teeth, and Glenavon will definitely be out. They find one, I think, in the summer. Let's be honest about it. So Glenavon have 2 or 3 players you can definitely work a team around, but until you get that big man that puts the ball in the back of the net on a regular basis, you're probably not struggling, but you are going to find it more difficult to win games of football.
We'll go now to the bottom of the division. It hasn't got a huge amount of shine this year. Ballymena and Newry, they're locked into those 2 places right now, and they both had games against top 6 sides. They both lost out in those games. Different circumstances for both. There was chances for them, but it was just, in their fans' eyes, is another sad and depressing weekend, especially for Newry, I'd say, because, I mean, they got a point against the Crews early on in the season at Seaview, and when you're down at the bottom and you get a penalty at home, I could just tell if you're a Newry fan, you're thinking this is going to sum up our season right here. And when you're in that position, you can't miss a penalty like that. It's well saved by Tuffy, but when things aren't going for you, they're not going for you. And I don't know, what was it? October 2022 is the last time Newry won at home. Like, are we edging towards 18 months without a victory down at the Newry Showgrounds? I you don't need me to say that is relegation form across a season and a half.
I actually said to the boys in the press box at Showgrounds on Saturday that I actually fancy Newry to get a result, and they looked at me because it's always been a tough place to go. I know they haven't won. I know they've won, actually. They've won more games in Carrick this year than they have at Newry, I think, in 18 months, which is absolutely mental when you think about it. So,
and Carrick was the last team they defeated at the Showgrounds in 22, you know?
So maybe they could just want to play Carrick at home every week or away. So, yeah, I think when you get, you mentioned that you're spot on, when you get a penalty and such a big, big chance to take the lead, you need to convert it and you need to give yourself something to cling on to. And I was listening back to the post-match audio of both managers, and I think Barry Gray made a really good point. He said there's only a one-game swing. We still have to play Ballymena. The destiny's still in their own hands. And I think when he came in, if you offered any Newry fans to go in the split only 2 points behind Ballymena, they'd have ripped your hands off. So, and for the Crews too, I was listening to what Baxter had to say, and I've read a wee bit of the two, and I think it was a dominant performance. Baker Shade was really about finding the back of the net until a great ball in again. Seemed to be a good weekend, a good crosses in the box, and Ben Kennedy puts it in. So, yeah, look, Crusaders, as I mentioned earlier, are in a good run of form. I think it's unbeaten now in six games. So, yeah, a better one probably for Newry because of the penalty, and they've only been really edged out. It's not as if it's been a 3 or 4 nil demolition. So, tough one to take. But I think he maybe played five at the back as well. I think he experimented a wee bit too. So, maybe that might make them more solid for the split game. So, yeah, it's all showtime now, and those five, but Newry and Ballymena have to sweat it out for the last games.
Like, I can see here on the Football NI app, I mean, Newry had three outfield players named on the bench. That's it. They had four on the bench in total. It's a team which has, like, you can see between Ford and McGovern, O'Connor missed the penalty. I mean, they have attacking talent, but they, this is not the first week, and it probably won't be the last, that they are a team just lacking in confidence. And I think you look at both Ballymena and Newry, and you're probably saying that both sides are lucky that there is a team as bad as the other. Last season, Newry were a wee bit about it, but were held up by a good bit of early season form. We all know Portadown were pretty poor, and then Dungannon just kept on conceding lots of goals, and they kind of kept each other afloat. I wonder what this year's Newry and this year's Ballymena would have done last year, because I think they're clearly the bottom two teams in the league. I think my own fantasy decisions of, like, make sure there's two players who are playing against either one of those teams, and if one of the top six teams in my fantasy team is playing Newry or Ballymena, captain one of them, because there's usually points to be had. So they're now battling it out. It's the Dundella thing will impact things for them, but 11th is still what they're aiming for. I don't know if I would. It could be the first time maybe ever that if either those two teams are playing against, let's say, a Portadown or a Bangor or an Institute in a playoff, like, they, I don't know if they would be favoured.
Yeah, we again, this is what we spoke about in the press box on Saturday, and say we were chatting with Ballymena, for example, and if they were to play Bangor or play Portadown, you wouldn't fancy them. You wouldn't. Because they're obviously them two, yes, why is Ballymena and Newry Premiership players? It's all about form and confidence, and Portadown and Bangor obviously in good form. So, yeah, it's very, very, very difficult. And I think, as well, I was thinking before we came on, I was like, whose shoes are you rather be in? You'd rather be in Ballymena's shoes or Newry's shoes at the minute. And I think Newry have known what it's like to win a game more recently, and it's not as if they get hammered by Crusaders on Saturday. So, yeah, I think the game between Newry and Ballymena is actually at Ballymena. So that's like a cup final, if you think about it. And it'd be very, very interesting to see how Ballymena players would react if they were to go bottom of the table.
It would be such a big swing. It would be such a big psychological fall down, and you're constantly worried about their results, and then you're...
Yeah, Psychologically.
I mean, I don't need to explain about what bottom of the table battling is like. I mean, both those fan bases have known it all year, and they're two managers who have come in, and it's not been fully their team. Obviously, defending's been clearly Newry's problem. Goal scoring hasn't been amazing either, but I mean, the amount they're minus 60 in goal difference. Like, that's huge. We all know the stats about how they're one of the worst defenses in top flight football across Europe. But Ballymena, they have that great time at the back, but going forward, I don't think many people right now could name me Ballymena's front line straight up and be confident to tell me who they think would be playing it. It's somewhere between Noah Stewart, McMurray when he's healthy. They've brought in Calvin McCurry, and you compare those teams you were talking about in Portadown and Bangor and maybe even Institute. You've got McGinty, Mikhail Kennedy, Paul McElroy,
Zach Barr.
Zach Barr, Arthurs as well. I mean, I think all those players I listed will go straight into either of those two teams' front line.
Yeah, I agree with you, to be honest. And it's just probably a sad and indictment of where Newry and Ballymena are at. And it's still like if they're going to win a game, they have to win it 1-0. So it's mad saying that because as a Corian fan, Ballymena, I think, have scored as it's something like 8 or 9 goals against us this year in the 3 league games. So to me, I think if either Newry or Ballymena, I know this is stating the obvious, I think if either of them win, is it maybe 2 or 3 games in the split, they'll definitely stay up. So, but yeah, to me, it all comes down to if Newry ever go above Ballymena in the league and how the Ballymena players react to that. And I think that'll tell the tale. I really, really do. I think Ballymena will go bottom. I think Ballymena will stay bottom because they haven't been there. And I think it's because it's been like nearly the. If Newry have been chased that much, and as soon as you get chased and you get caught, how do you feel about having them? Do them be the chaser? So, yeah, it's one out there. I know who knows. Ballymena could go out and first game of split and win, and then they're 5 points clear. So, yeah, it's very, very interesting. It'd be interesting to see when Newry and Ballymena play each other and how tense and stuff that would be. It'd be like nearly like a title race game, obviously, and it'd be a really, really good game to go to, I think.
Going to the Glentoran game with Ballymena, Glentoran thump Ballymena 4-0. A big role in that was Ballymena having to play a significant part of the game with 10 men, and then they lose now Mikey Place, an experienced player, a good physical presence for them. He could be out for 3 games if that's going to be listed as a on the tastier side of a straight red card. So I mean, they're not a team that are bursting with a huge amount of depth. And that's another piece that is going to go away. And again, getting beaten by Glentoran like that away, it just drains a team like that. We've seen it time and time again.
Yeah, and I was chatting to my work colleague. He was covering it for us, and he said actually Ballymena started the game really well, and then obviously conceded a poor enough goal, and Mickey Place got sent off. So, yeah, I think the one place you probably didn't want to go this weekend, probably aside from Larne or Linfield, would probably be the Glens. Dougie Devine's first game in charge, and it just seems that Ballymena can't catch a break, and I think it's probably the manner of the goals that they conceded this weekend as well. And it's another game without scoring a goal, as we just mentioned. So, yeah, the red card, I've seen it back, and I think it's harsh, to be perfect. I don't really
I
think.
would be really annoyed if that,
Yeah,
but
I
I mean
agree.
it's a high boot, but he kind of comes across. It almost feels like Sule runs into the boot, like the boot's
Right.
there.
Yeah, he runs
I'm
into
not saying
Sule,
he
yeah.
ran into it like some sort of purposeful tactic, but I mean it kind of looks like he ran into the boot that was there.
100%. Yeah, it's you hit the nail on the head. It's nearly like he's wanting to go just straight for the ball. And unfortunately, it's straight where Mikey Place's boot is, if that makes sense. So it's nearly like he's wanting to boot his. It's nearly like he's wanting to head his boot, even though that's where the ball is. If that makes, I hope that makes sense. So, no, yeah, it's whenever you get like, you're 1-0 down and you're going to have a uphill battle against Glentoran with 11 players, never mind 10. So, and especially where Ballymena are at. So, yeah, it's just one of the ones there. They're going to have to they suck up and go again.
Before we move on, what's your then take of those two teams at the bottom? I know you think that if Newry jump ahead, they'll keep the momentum up, man. I mean, Newry always feel that underdog spirit, that they've felt that since last year, where they've been getting up there, being a team of quite a lot of regional players from that area, they feel a lot of pride in that regard and are used to battling, you know, this Ballymena side were only in the Irish Cup final this time last year. And yes, that's a team who's having to reform and try and find their place now in this league, both from a stature point of view, of a financial point of view, and they're trying to create a new team on the fly, and it hasn't gelled fully formed just yet. Who do you think, come the end of the league season after 38 games are played, who do you think is going to be sitting in the dreaded 12th place?
People are going to say I'm bitter because I support Corian. I think Ballymena. Honestly, I can't. I do not know how they're going to score a goal. Honestly, I can see Newry maybe flicking a goal or two in at home, but I honestly cannot see Ballymena scoring a goal. And as well that, you know, they'll be hoping obviously Dundella win the league in a playoff. But even a playoff, I honestly just the form of them two teams, I can't see them over two games as well. I think both the teams would struggle. Like in the playoff, obviously look at Bangor report down. We're gonna win the league and they don't finish second. Then, you know, obviously there is an automatic promotion and automatic relegation. So,
I
I,
mean, it would all happen on the pitch, but you know, we've been talking week by week
yeah.
on this podcast, just a little tiny look at the championship, and there has been a lot going on there between Institute, Bangor, Dundella, and Portadown. I mean, it would be even stranger to be sitting here and look at it. It'll be a mix of not being able to deliver on the pitch in a playoff and strange off the pitch things as well for Dundella, but it would feel odd and slightly unfair, perhaps, if there's a situation where we're going in the next September and it's exactly the same 12 teams, wouldn't it? There'd be something like this doesn't seem right. There's not even one change there.
Correct, I suppose. But again,
Ultimately, it's because Dundella's
important.
not appropriate, and
Yeah,
an Institute of
100%.
Portadown or Bangor hasn't won the playoffs. So, get over yourself. But I mean, Ballymena and Newry have been very, very poor, and we've seen the teams in the championship be really exciting, and I've caught a lot of interest, and I've probably been the best championship title race I've ever seen. And to see no change in either division from the top of that and the
Yeah.
bottom of the other would go, sure, this promotion relegation thing is kind of what football's all about here.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. But then I suppose Dundella's argument would be, and probably one on your end, Ballymena's, and would be, you know, Portadown and Stuart and Bangor, whoever it may be, have 38 games to finish top of the league to get promoted. You know, they spurned their opportunity. Dundella won the league. Yeah, I think just on that, you know, obviously rules are rules, and I agree with them. But for Wilgar Park, they host Irish Cup games and Shield games and League Cup games against Premiership opposition. They then not be able to go up. To me, just all that, just I just don't think it's a good look, the league. I've said this, I say this about everything. I say this about registration fiascos, players playing when they're suspended, Comet issues. I just don't think it looks good for the league. But again, it's not obviously the league's fault, you know, that Wilgar Park's pitch isn't wide enough. I get that. But to me, it just, I think if you just won the league and you can't go up, to me, it just doesn't look good. But I know people will mess with me, be like, well, you know, what are they meant to do? You know, grow their graph out longer and stuff like that. But it's just, yeah, to me, it'd be a shame for Dundee, I suppose. And if they do go on and win, and this is another subplot I thought about too. If Dundee go on now and win the league with them players knowing that they won't play Premiership football, that shows a lot about their character to me. Yes, look, winning the cup, whatever league you're in, you always want to go and win games of football, you always want to win your league. But if you look at a lot of goal players last year, they won the league knowing that they were going to go to Windsor Park, they were going to go to Solitude, they were going to go to Seaview. So for Dundee's players, or maybe Dundee's players looking at, we can win the league, then maybe, you know, some of them teams might come in and take us at a higher level. So yeah, there's a subplot within that plot, I'm sure.
Speaking to fans about this, like I feel like I've got the same reaction from everybody who follows pretty much every team across the league. Why? And we haven't got an official confirmation, let's be fair, from anybody that it will ultimately stop it, I don't think. But everyone kind of says it's an arbitrary decision that this pitch is not right, this pitch isn't big enough. Like, there isn't anything in, I don't believe in, like, big boy football rules of the game book that says if you would like to play top flight Irish League football, your pitch must be this big. I know we've seen it with European competitions and all the rest, but to kind of come back to this, I think a lot of people are going, just let them play. Now maybe
Yeah.
Donnarumma don't want to go up, so it hardly matters. But
Yeah. I think it's 4 meters, is it, or something?
Is there a particular reason why that it can't be, bar just the people who make up the rules have decided that's the rules?
It's for me, it's over 4 meters, and I just think that, for football, I think for just over 4 meters, and like, rules are rules, and I respect that. I swear, and they're there. Whether it's Dundella's pitch is only 4 meters, or whether it be Corrien's, or whether it be Tobermory United, the dimensions are dimensions, and as we have to go by. But for me, it's probably more of a shame, I think, if Dundella really won the league and they not come up. And I think when you read the statements from the chairman and stuff, I do think I think they did apply for a promotion license. So obviously they did harbour ambitions of coming, or well, they wanted to apply for a promotion license. So obviously they would have had they'd had ambitions to play Premiership football, but it's not going to happen. So I don't know what they would do in that instance. Next season, do they maybe say they saw? Do they maybe say they're going to torn maybe the ground share? If they do come up, do they make their own, adjustments? Can they afford to even make their own adjustments? Well, that's for obviously for the people at Dundella, they sort
The
out.
one thing I do know, if Ballymena and Urie both stay in this league and are then somehow drafted into playing the first game of next season against each other, I feel like that would be the Irish League version of that Paul Rudd Hot Ones meme where they're just looking at each other. Who would have thought? Not me. Here we are.
I know. Stranger things have happened. For example, Bordeaux to finish second.
Literally nothing is impossible in Irish League, lad, let's be fair.
True. And yeah, that's the fixture computer and the empty still league, and they play for the first game of the season. The two Germans should have a bottle of wine before the game, at a half time, and after the match. And
They should play it at Wilger Park. This is like a bit of a special feature. No, they should have a friendly at Wilger Park. At the before the season, going, hey lads, what a great time this is. Actually, you know what? Let's just talk about the championship right now. I mean, the result of the weekend across all of Irish League football was Portadown defeating Bangor 2-1 at Shamrock Park on Friday night. 94th minute winner. I mean, the goal has been shared across social media. The Around the Grounds boys were on it. I mean, crazy scenes at Shamrock Park. I mean, Portadown are not making this a very simple march to the title. They've decided, what if we just stayed behind everybody else and have like a Lightning McQueen kind of dip and dive through everybody? We'll have to see if they can finish that off. 97th minute, I think it was, against Institute. They beat Ards there on Tuesday. And then they finish off a mad 7 days, 9 points to the good in their eyes, and a last minute winner against it's Bangor. Wow.
Instead of Fergie time, it's Curry time. So, but yeah, look, I think how they're winning the games too, will add momentum and will add a sense of togetherness, I think, between the squad. Obviously, they're playing for their manager, and they've had a really, really good season in the cup. So obviously, Mid-Ulster Cup went well for them, the League Cup final. They were in the quarter final Irish Cup, so they were probably playing a wee bit of catch up in the league. I think Portadown are a Premier League club, let's be honest with you, but the results just haven't shown it. And they've had no time to feel sorry for themselves, and I know Niall's a big Portadown man himself, and he'll want to guide them up there. So I still think it'll come down to Portadown and Bangor. I think yes, Dundella will definitely have a say in that as well, but I just have maybe a feeling that I just don't know how Dundella play. To me, Dundella players, oh yes, they want to win the league, but they're not going to go up. So I maybe maybe waiting for them, they maybe have a tail off, will never happen. So, but how Portadown are winning the games, I think they've majority of the games at home as well in the split, somebody was saying to me. So yeah, and how they're winning the games, and everyone else is giving them a real added momentum. And their fans, I was at the League Cup final, and their fans were brilliant that day. They want to have another party to celebrate by going up.
Yeah, great result there for Dundella on Saturday with Portadown then chasing them. They're able to create a bit of daylight again, 4 points by a 3-1 win over Newington. And they got that 1-0 win against Balmallard to game beforehand, and for Bangor, I mean, they're on such a good run, and by all accounts, they were the better side on Friday night, and it's just we are now in that point of the season where Dundella Institute, Bangor, Portadown, they're all going to play each other. So are they going to take like one could emerge very easily? They could all take points off each other, and it would all just even out. Institute also went out on Saturday, a big result for them going up to the Welders. They'll see them again in the top six. So you have is it Anna, Welders, Dundella, Institute, Bangor, and Portadown. Like that's going to be a good split of big games every weekend there. And like I've been backing Bangor just with their attacking play and a bit of the lock all effect where they're just taking every game at a time and are playing this kind of wild abandon. Institute are the ones that have kept up there but have kind of fallen a bit like that Portadown result last week. You don't know what Portadown's going to do. Dundella, their big question is just were they going to be rocked by that? They get tanked by Anna, then they lose to the Welders a couple of weeks later. It's just can I think they're the team. It's like can they keep up momentum to win the league? And the other teams might have it. So lots to look out for. Like I have backed Bangor, and I guess maybe that Portadown result says that maybe in these big games against the other teams, they'll find it difficult to keep up the same level, and maybe they'll run out of steam. Like from an outsider's point of view, do you back Portadown then in that situation?
I think I'm nearly certain Portadown have a lot of games at home. I was chatting to the fellow who sports them, so he wouldn't need to be if they have told me any lies. So, yeah, they've a lot of Premiership experience too. I think people forget that Ryan Mayes, Gary Thompson, Ross Raymond, I think, came on and whipped the ball in for the goal. Zach Barr's been scoring the goals up front. You know, they've a lot of Premiership experience. Guys, you'll want to play at that level of game. So, it's very easy to say Portadown because they've won their last three, and it's a very cop-out thing to say, but I just think they will do it. Yeah, I think it'll be. I think if done, if you know, but the Dell are going out, they're 5 points clear, or yeah, 4 or 5 points clear. If they beat Portadown, and or beat Bangor, they're that's you know, that's another 3 points or 6 points swing really. If you take the other two teams, so yeah, I'm going to go for Portadown just to sneak it ahead of Dundell.
Going to be fascinating between now and the end of the
Yeah.
season. I mean, we talk about it every week, and there could be big twists and turns every week. But right now, it's Dundella who are in control. We'll touch very briefly upon Northern Ireland before we get into the big, only two games to look into, but they're big, juicy, meaty steaks of games in the Irish Cup. I mean, only briefly touch upon it. Northern Ireland 1-1 against Romania. Romania, they won there. Qualifying group. So, you know, this is a team that's somewhat on the rise. It was a very different team from Michael O'Neill on Friday evening. We saw both Trey Hume and Conor Bradley play on the same side. It was a debut for the latest grandmothered player, Jamie Reid. He gets a goal, he thumped it in, feels like he did his best to boot it over the bar, looked very impressive. What was the most striking thing about the game? Was it the players that were on the pitch, or was it the kit that they were wearing?
I think it was definitely the players on the pitch. I think very, very solid. And yeah, look, Romania, I think last time we played Romania, I think the beat was it 2-0, and that's never Northern Ireland were going pretty well. So I think as well you touched on it. I think it's the nucleus, the young players that are playing, you know, Trey Hume and obviously Isaac Price and Shea Charles and all the youngsters that are playing and more added games. And look, it's a very, very different Northern Ireland squad than probably what we've been expecting of recent years, and that's just how the conveyor belt goes. So it was nice to see a striker score as well. So it feels ages since so if we can find a striker can maybe score in if you play for Northern Ireland, you're probably not going to score on a consistent basis, but if you can put the ball in the back of the net every so often, that would be nice. So but no, listen, the 1-1 draw away to Romania is not to be sniffed at. It's players playing with each other, getting more international experience against a reasonably good team. So, and yeah, the game against Scotland will also be a challenge for them too, because obviously, look, they're going to the Euros also. So.
Yeah, like Jimmy Reid kind of come out of nowhere. I think he's like an under 21s player from when he was under 21. He took a bit of a step back, played in the National League, and then has worked his way back up now in the League One with Stevenage, and like 17 goals this season. That's pretty impressive, probably more than any other striker playing across the leagues. And I think Michael O'Neill said he's not in a position where he can turn down goal scorers, and to get a goal on his debut, that's great for him. And like, this is an incredibly young Northern Ireland side, and perhaps we will spend the next 5 years going, they're still young, trying to figure it out, and then eventually everybody turns 26. And maybe that's a good thing to have Price, Charles, Lane, Hume. You want them to be the spine for something else. It just depends how good of a spine they will eventually be. I think we all look at Bradley now as our next big great hope, as our like future top end player that we have, the same way with the likes of Johnny Evans and all the rest of it. But yeah, they go on to Scotland. It would be great to see them maybe just not lose to Scotland, but again, Scotland are a far better team, and it will be at Hampden as well. So hey, good luck to them. On the kit, have you been won over bad? Like, I feel like at the start, I looked at it and went, what is going on? I definitely like a more interesting and vibrant kit. Like, if you took away the stripes, it would just be a bright green top, and you're like, meh. A lot of people go, oh, that's nice and classic and simple. I think my big thing about it is that the fact that it's a sine wave, and isn't it supposed to be, you're not Brazil, we're Northern Ireland. That's like what the song is supposed to be, as the sound waves. And maybe it's just me, but that slightly makes my skin crawl with cringe.
Kits to me, I think they're nostalgia sort of thing, but for me, I don't really get caught up in it, to be perfectly honest. I know that's a very boring sitting on the fence, I sound like an old man sort of answer, but no, listen, I don't care what kit they play on, obviously it has to be green because it's Northern Ireland, but yeah, look, if they get performances in it, that'll be the greatest kit I've ever seen. So no, yeah, it's no, for me, it's listen, it's a talking point, obviously, in social media and everyone, and I read all the comments, but no, for me, it's more about the players on the pitch, on wearing the kit, I suppose, rather than maybe the design of the kit. I'll let others, maybe with a better fashion taste, than me, make up their
Thank you very much. And my mind is,
mind.
I kind of like how bright it is. Right. Irish Cup semi-final time. Two of the biggest games of the season. It's interesting the way these have fallen, that we have our top four sides in the country all in the semi-final. It will lead to an cracker matchup regardless of what way it falls. You have two big rivalries, let's just say. Obviously, we know about Glentoran and Linfield, and then this like Cliftonlarn thing is like bubbling over with interchangeable stuff. Like, in a couple of years, we'll look back and go, why is that such a heated rivalry? It's like that Portadown Glentoran thing. We're like, hold on, why is this so aggy? What did this happen? It's like, well, back in 1985. It feels like that's where we are with Cliftonville and Larne, and big games like this is where rivalries come from. This is little things that happen in these games. That's what it's all about. Let's start though with Linfield, Glentoran season. I mean, it's hanging on this game. They don't want to, one, miss out on a chance of Europe without going through the European playoff by getting into the final and winning this. They don't want to lose to Linfield in any type of game. They don't want to lose to Linfield and then give them a chance to go in and get more silverware. It's at the Oval. It's going to be jam-packed. Perhaps the biggest non-league game in the Irish League in a long time. And, I mean, can Glentoran try and concoct another great performance against this somewhat beatable Linfield side, where there's young parts here or there? This is not the dominant side from elsewhere. We've seen Glentoran can do it on their day, but there is no doubt that Linfield have the experience edge, the mentality edge, and just the better all-round team. They're a better, the sum of their parts is better.
Oh,
And, you know, I think Linfield will be favourites, but I mean, we've seen this before with Glentoran, that they can pull it out of the bag if it all comes together in this one-off game. They've been scoring goals recently. That's good. And perhaps this new duo of McGinn and McCartan trying to fit in Burns somewhere. They've got Singleton back now. Maybe it's all just coming together where they can really do one here on Linfield.
Yeah, this is probably Glentoran's season, biggest game of season, in a nutshell. And yeah, obviously they'll know they'll be in the playoffs if they don't win the semi final. So yeah, it's at the Oval as well. So before the draw was made, this was the draw I wanted, because you've obviously the big two and then Larne and Cliftonville, you've, as you mentioned, all former players. But that'll be the proper football match. Both teams who play football the right way. So yeah, the Glens, they're like a bag of rebels. You don't know what you're going to get. You don't know what's going to come out of them. If they lost that game 3-0, won it 3-0, you would not be surprised with either scoreline. And I think the main comment you make is the Glens, when they click, they definitely players that can hurt you. And with Darragh O'Connor and McGinn and McCartan, Junior as well, works his socks off up front. So, yeah, it's a difficult one because Linfield, once they win a trophy, they get the taste for it and they want more. They've really won the League Cup. And they'll be thinking if they can get in the Irish Cup final, they can add momentum to that for the rest of the season in terms of the league. So for me, personally, I fancy the Glens. Don't ask me why. I think they'll sneak it. Maybe just because this is it for them. I think this is Linfield still have the league, obviously, they play for. Whereas I think the Glens, this is it. So I'm going to take the Glens, they sneak it. But again, look, if Linfield went out and won 3-4-0, I wouldn't be shocked either. So, but it's very, very close to call. And Becky Devine as well, he could be in charge for about 8 games and win a cup. So all different subplots, you know, that sort of way. So, but no, I would fancy the Glens just to sneak it.
I totally get where you're coming from. I think that what they have going forward has been working. It hasn't been working against the top teams. They have absolutely been flat track bullies. But there's something about this emergence and return to the team of Niall McGinn that centres this a bit more. And perhaps he can add an influence of, right, this is how we're going to try and game plan and attack this Linfield team. I'm actually going to back Linfield. And I think what's going through my head of, like, pass to victory for both sides. What I'm really still struck by that game on the Tuesday evening between Linfield and Cliftonville. It was a chance for Cliftonville to really establish themselves as, we are going for this title and we're going to put a sword right through the heart of Linfield in our patch. And what David Healy showed was his best managerial performance of the season. He nullified all of that attacking threat from Cliftonville. That then unstabled the Reds at home. They were able to put a bit of pressure out wide, made Cliftonville start making mistakes. That then mistake gave them a chance to score a goal from a set piece. Then all of a sudden we saw Cliftonville try and chase on the game, and then Linfield held their nerve and picked them off 3-0. And I think that's what we're going to see on Friday. I think we're going to see a quite boring game in the first half, famous last words. And then I just think Linfield will take that lead. And I think it could eventually be very similar, a couple of goals. So I'm going to say 3-1 Linfield. Glentoran looked like, oh my goodness, they've come out. This Linfield team are maybe put under pressure here. And I just think if it's Patrick goal, Glentoran might panic later on, and I'm going to back Linfield. And of course, that is what Cliftonville will be dying to see as well, because a win on Friday night for Linfield then guarantees them European football pretty much with their league position, which is huge. Glentoran get in, and then it's all up in the air if they finish third. Now they take on a very different side in Larne, a Larne side who have been here and done this before in beating Cliftonville, but the Irish Cup, that's one thing that they haven't done yet. They've won the league, Larne. They're looking on a really good form to win it again this year. They have just been on a tear recently, And now it's all eyes on there. It's a one last hope really for Cliftonville as well, for them to maybe make this season feel like it meant something rather than a great little run in the middle that petered out again. I'll be up front, and it'll be no surprise again that I'm backing Lorne just for their defensive stability and outrageous flair up top, their strength, their speed, their precision. We all know that Cliftonville have not been the same side since they lost Turner. And in the league, they've been shipping goals, especially since that Linfield game. And styles makes fights. And I don't think this is a good style matchup from a Cliftonville point of view.
Yes, I think I also fancy Lauren, to be honest. And I think it'll be maybe 1-0 or 2-0, maybe 2-1. Again, I think obviously Lauren, they've never won the Irish Cup. Cliftonville fans feel like they've never won the Irish Cup. It's been that long.
Yeah, some fans would almost claim they have never won the Irish Cup.
I think this game will be a very, very good one to watch. I really, really do. Probably be boring. But no, I think as well, sort of like Levi Hayes and Chris Gallagher and stuff, and Paul O'Neill, and you've half of Cliftonville, Thomas Colgrove as well. So you've half of Cliftonville at Lauren. So yeah, you mentioned it as well with Cliftonville. A lot of people will be like, well, Johnny, you've just mentioned that the Glens have won, this is Cliftonville's Cup final. I think Lauren's lost to Ballymena last year, and the Irish Cup semi final will be a big thing in Lauren's mind. They were the form team in the league that time when under that game. Ballymena weren't doing so well, and Ballymena beat them 2-0 at Seaview that night. And nobody could believe it. That's probably the only person that believed it was the team players that played for Ballymena, if you're being totally honest. So I think that's why I would just tip Larn. They're not conceding many goals. You know, they only conceded their first goal in the league this calendar year, last, you know, a couple of weekends ago against Glenavon. So yeah, I'm going to go for Lauren 2-1.
And that's kind of because they just fell asleep. They were others gifted that way. And I mean, Lauren have everything. They have dominance midfield. They have pace out wide. They can play the long ball, or they can pass it around you. And those two departures in Turner and Gallagher weren't immediately seen to be like a downgrade for Cliftonville, but as the seasons went on, I think those are two areas that they've significantly had a downgrade, and it could be capitalized on significantly by Lawrence. So yeah, I can say 2-0. I mean, they're to say they're the informed side in the league is a massive understatement. They're tearing teams apart, but that run has to come to an end at some point, and there is somewhat of a blueprint that we've seen with what Coleraine did to Lauren. Perhaps Lauren will, similarly to last year, they'll get caught up in the moment, and that fact that it's pretty much now Cliftonville's own pride when it comes to the seasons on the line. You know, I mean, it's not like there's a trophy for having a nice season for everybody, but this has been a great season for Cliftonville up until the past few weeks. And for it to come and go with nothing, and maybe even no Europe, I mean, that would be cruel. But in the same way we were talking about how there might be no teams getting promoted this year, that's just kind of the way it is. You have to deliver, and if you don't deliver, there's no sentimentality awards here.
It would be strange if Cliftonville didn't finish in Europe, because they've always been in that title race, if that makes sense. So if you finish third as well, and say the Glens win the Irish Cup, you're thinking, oh my goodness. So I think the biggest compliment I give Cliftonville is that there were some reservations about Jim coming in, and he's done a fantastic job there, and you know, so and they've probably done better than maybe what they were expecting themselves. So yeah, look, if they can come out with Europe, if you were to offer Jim Magilton to finish third and qualify for Europe at the start of the season, they'd have put your hand off for it. So, yes, wise, obviously football fans want to see their team win trophies and get winners' medals and everyone else. Of course they do. Sometimes you have to look at the progression teams make as well. And if they can secure Europe and go again, or win the Irish Cup, you know, that's the way you have to look at it as well. So, I think I just can't look by Lauren, to be perfectly honest. Maybe it's just lazy saying that because they're top of the league and everyone else, but I just think they'll do it.
Johnny, that is our fair for this week. Gonna be a great little week. Next week, we'll obviously review those two big games. I mean, there's no football pretty much across the leagues bar those two for Easter, so everybody gets to put their eyes on those games, relax, eat a few smaller yet also more expensive Easter eggs if that is how you want to do it. I'll be consuming something that's dark, and I don't mean dark chocolate. So that'll be my plans, watching football, have a good time, enjoy however you may spend your Easter, dear listener. But we'll also then next week preview, going to be an interesting one, all of the split stuff by then. We should have some fixtures that we can go through. So that's what you've got to look forward to next week. But we'll end, Johnny, with some trivia. We had that fact going out there that we now have had the same top six for a couple of years. Can you tell me who the last team of those six teams to not be in the top six, and who was the team to be in there? So Linfield, Larne, Glentoran, Coleraine and Crusaders, Cliftonville as well. They've all been the top six sides for the last couple of years. Who was the last of those teams not to be in the top six, and who was in there instead of them?
I'm going to go Larne. And I'm going to go... Is it Glenavon or Balmy now? I'm going to go Glenavon.
So, you are correct. But actually, there was two teams. So, you know, I left it open. So, yes, if we go all the way back to the season 2018-2019... Larne were not in the league, and Glentoran were the team still pre-Ali Pereira. They had finished seventh, and Glenavon finished third that year. Who finished second? Ballymena, you know. So 5 years on, a very different league. And, you know, next season will be interesting, because as much as you would say that we're maybe stuck in this pseudo early 2000s, like top four, where it never changed in the Premier League for a couple of years, as we saw, it eventually did, and different things move. And, you know, we have seen that Coring could have been under threat. We could have seen Glenavon sneak it last year as well. So, I mean, yes, it has happened this way, but it's not like Coring or whoever the sixth team may be was sitting there home and hosed for weeks.
Football always goes in cycles, and they say this to everybody. And growing up in Man United, you used to win everything, and now they couldn't win an argument. So, football just changes and goes in cycles. And next year, obviously, Carrick they've also got investment. So, they might be able to shop in a different market than what they've been used to. So, yeah, look, football changes all the time, and there's no given. Nothing's given to teams on a Saturday, so that's what keeps it all interesting, and that's why we can sit and talk about it here tonight.
I might not be chatting to you before the Gibson Cup is given out, so my final question that I've been asking my guests are: one, who do you back to win the league this year, and two, we're getting closer so we can be a bit more sure of this, who has been your player of the season? Who's your favourite to be Ulster footballer of the year?
Ooh, I think Larne won the league. Player of the year. Obviously the team that wins the league usually wins it. Let's be totally honest. But I'm not going to say this player is going to win it, but I think he's the most underappreciated player in the league who should be nominated, and that's Kyle McLean. I think he's a fantastic footballer at Linfield. I think he's so underrated. Maybe everyone rates him and I don't read about it. But I think he is such a good footballer. I love watching him. If I could take one player for him, he would be up there. I just think he's so good. Also football of the year. Where do you even start? I think Levi Ives has been brilliant at Larne. Benji McGee's been really good at Loughrigg. You know, you've so many different, you know, he'll probably win Young Player of the Year. So, turn also football here. Rohan Ferguson, barely even see that goal. Your big Bulger there too. So yeah, Joe Thompson was banging him in until he got injured. Bonus ran in, you know,
There
those
isn't
things.
the same. Like last year, it was very
Neither
much Laurie or
yeah.
Miller, wasn't it? We
Yeah, yeah.
all saw that from out, and there just isn't the same. Saying that though, you know, Lee Bonus just surpassed Lauren's highest goal scorer in a top flight season. So, you know, he's come back, but has he put it in an entire full season performance compared to others? People will know, listen to this. My pick's Levi Ives right now. But yeah, we'll have to see how it all comes out. Johnny, great to have you on. People will know you from the stuff you're writing on the back pages, but also you're the man asking questions usually for Corey Media. And a part of that is you do the Corey podcast. So for those who don't know or want to know more, plug it. How can people find things more from you, both spoken and written?
Peter, that's the most loveliest introduction anyone's ever given me, you know. No, like, listen, I'm a journalist for the newsletter, both news and sports. So, you can read about my lies there, and obviously with Corey and I do all the I do write all the articles for the website and on all the social media content as well, and in the official Corey podcast, all your usual outlets in terms of Spotify and Apple Cast and Anchor and all that. So, yeah, just. Name as it is, the official Korean podcast. So yeah, we're very, very lucky, and I know you host your own show, and in terms of getting guests on, you can give you their time, and as always, it's nearly like every week it's getting that one person for an hour, and it always seems like the hardest hour of your life trying to get them on. So always had some brilliant guests, and yeah, it's been a learning experience for me, and I know some of your listeners remember like Wes Lamont, who played for Korean Linfield. I was born in 94, he played for Korean in 96. So I was probably still running around in nappies by the time he was playing for Corian, but it's so interesting they hear different things about different people he played for the team that you support. So no, yeah, that's where you can listen.
Can I be honest with you, Johnny? I've never heard of Wes Lamont, but I hope you're not pulling my leg. Excellent sounding name for an Irish League player. I can just imagine him, I'm going to say, with long flowing locks running down the Coleraine wing is what who I am imagining right now. So yeah, chats with Wes Lamont and others all there. And look, I didn't get him to say that. You see, he's saying how hard. You know, I'm like a swan right now. It's all pedaling underneath, but on the podcast, these guests just turn up and it's easy and it's fine and it's no bother at all. Johnny, it's great to have you. Hopefully I'll get chatting to you sometime. This is probably more of a personal thing. I don't think I'll chat to you on the podcast before the end of the season. Maybe if there's some sort of mad news at Corian or elsewhere. But look, great to have you on. Chat soon.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Cheers. There we are. Thank you so much for listening to me this week. I never take it for granted. We are now 81 episodes in. Probably, like, I have to do the maths here. Probably close to like 100 hours of like kicking match audio. So, I mean, there's a lot out there, and I wouldn't do it if it wasn't for the fact that, well, I get to chat to all of you guys. I appreciate any sort of response. Obviously, it's really nice off the back of what was, you know, a banner week when it comes to the podcast. Second biggest day when it comes to single day listenership. Lots of lovely feedback to the podcast. So look, it's growing. It's nice. I'm very thankful if this is your first or it's your 81st podcast listening to me. I really appreciate it. And if you are new to this, you can, of course, follow this podcast on a multitude of platforms, being Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. You can also follow slash subscribe to this podcast via whatever your podcast platform is, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Just go to the Kicking Match homepage on there. Look for a little wheel or a little button, and it gives you a chance to follow slash subscribe. It's free, and it means that you get the most up-to-date notifications of when this little podcast drops. So you don't have to worry, you don't have to refresh. It will tell you. Thanks for listening once again. I will see you next week. Enjoy your eggs or whatever you're going to do this Easter. Until next time, I will see you soon.